Luke chapter 1 this morning. We'll read that in a moment. There's a man who was an orphan in North Korea, and somehow he made it across the border to South Korea back in the 60s. And there was an American doctor entering a hospital, and he happened to be there, this little orphan boy. And the boy was interested in learning how to become a doctor. He was asking the nurse, how can I become a doctor here? What do I have to do? What kind of training do I need? I want to help people. And so as he was there, the American doctor walked in the room and went to a meeting, and he came out, and the boy was still there asking questions. So the American doctor took a little interest in the boy, and long story short, he eventually adopted this boy and brought him to the United States. And he went to Stanford, got a really good education, was a very successful businessman here. And in about 9 years ago, he got terminal cancer. And he decided at that point in time that he would help other North Korean orphans. So he started this foundation, and he's trying to get some legislation passed to make it easier for Americans to adopt these North Korean kids, because often you know, they're neglected. There was a big flood in North Korea in 95, and 200,000 orphans were left. So this man has made it his mission, since he found out he has cancer, to help these children somehow. He sold his house. He invested all his assets into this organization to help them. So that's his mission. And whether he's a believer or not, I'm not really sure. But life threw him a curveball. He's only in his 60s, I think. So that would mean he got cancer in his 50s, I'm pretty sure. And his life wasn't exactly what he expected. And sometimes in our lives, we face circumstances that are disappointing, circumstances that are beyond our control, that we didn't cause. Now, sometimes we cause problems in our lives, but other times stuff just happens to us. Might get laid off from a job and can't find another job to replace it for a long time. Or if we do, it doesn't support all our needs. Sometimes we encounter a health problem and it cripples us in some way. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in his side. Sometimes there's a death in the family. That's a disappointing circumstance. I remember as a young adult, well, actually we were married at the time, one of my boyhood friends got killed in a car accident. We were pretty close to that family, and he was about my age. I spent time with him. And his mother, that's tough when you lose a 19, 20-year-old son. It's a disappointing circumstance. Sometimes our children disappoint us, and sometimes our parents disappoint us. Maybe they didn't give us everything that we think we needed when we were growing up. But God knows. And the Bible says that you sorrow not as those with no hope. We have hope. So no matter what the circumstances, how disappointing it may be, and the most disappointing thing that I can think of is something like I hear stories of the Holocaust, of parents watching their children shot in the head right in front of them. A disappointing circumstance. I don't know how you recover from that. But we as believers sorrow not as those with no hope. At least we have hope. And we know that someday we'll be reunited with our children if that happened to them in their young age. So what do we do now? What do we need to do to help us as we encounter the disappointing circumstances of our lives? Just close this door. What do we need to do to help us when we encounter disappointing circumstances? Well, one thing we can do, actually, let's read first. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 23. So Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So she was also from a priestly family. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to their Lord, to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless your word in our hearts and minds this morning. Speak to us from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is it that we need to help us in the disappointing circumstances of this life? Because we all know that this life has disappointing circumstances. Well, one thing we can do is found in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Thy prayer is heard. So one thing we can do is ask God to help us with our disappointing circumstances. Now, sometimes we think that we can handle it on our own. I'm strong, I'm young, I'm youthful, I'm in good shape, I'm in control of everything in my life, I can handle this. No. If you encounter a difficult circumstance, something that really disappoints you, pray. Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth faced something very disappointing. They could not have a child. They were past childbearing years now. They were well stricken in age. A disappointing situation. Imagine if you wanted a child so much and yet couldn't. You would be disappointed. So when they were young, they asked God. I'm sure of it. As they got older, they asked God, "God, would you please give us a child? We're not getting one here, Lord. Please give us one." That must have been Elizabeth's prayer, probably daily. I mean, Scripture doesn't tell us. But a woman who wants a child, I'm sure she must have prayed to the Lord and asked God for one. And we know that Zacharias did. "For Zacharias, thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So in the meantime, as they were getting older, they kept praying. But life goes on, you know, and he continued to do his job in the temple, and maybe he had some other job, I'm not really sure. But the Bible says in Matthew 21:22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." So that tells us that if there's some disappointing circumstances going on in our life, in our lives, pray to God. And if you're truly asking God for his will, and you're not asking God for what you want, if you're willing to submit to him and to whatever his will is for your life, then ask him, and believing, you shall receive. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts." So, ask God for his help. Now, Zacharias was officiating in the temple at the time when Gabriel, the angel, encountered him. The Bible says that he was in the order of his course. Now, during the Old Testament times, there were several tribes of Israel. The Levites were in charge of the temple. And there were 20,000 priests at this time. And, well, how did 20,000 priests officiate at the temple services? Well, there were broken up into 24 groups. Each group had about 1,000 priests. And only 2 weeks out of the year was their particular group called in to take care of the temple services, ceremonies. worship services. So twice a year, and they would only come for 1 week at a time. And the shift would change during the middle of the Sabbath day. So what would happen is, from what our records tell us, is that the priests would be summoned at dawn, just as the sun is beginning to rise. They would all gather around, and then lots would be cast, which was something, we don't know exactly what it was, but it was something like throwing dice. And that's how they determined who among the thousand that were there would have certain responsibilities in the worship service. So after they cast lots. Proverbs 16:33 makes it clear to us that this casting of lots, it wasn't like gambling, because God's hand was in it. And we don't do that today because we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us today. But the lot is cast into the lap, it says in Proverbs 16:33. But the whole disposing thereof, it's every decision, every outcome of casting lots, is of the Lord. So it was the Lord's will that Zechariah, at this point in time, be chosen to offer the incense at the altar. So after he was chosen and the other priests were chosen, they would wash their hands and wash their feet, and the others would be dismissed. And then they would inspect the temple area and look for anything that could defile the area. They would remove the ashes from the altar where they sacrificed the animals. They would lay new wood on that altar. The doors would then be opened as daylight occurred. A lamb was brought in the morning and another one in the evening. The lamb was led to the place where it would be sacrificed. It would be allowed to drink out of a golden bowl of water, and then they would sacrifice it. And they would cut up the body and lay it on a marble table. And then, one of the most important parts of the ceremony was when some of the priests entered the holy place. Not the most holy place, but the holy place of the temple. And there they would clean the lamps, fill them with new oil. They would remove the ashes from the altar of incense. And only a priest who never had that function before, who never had that responsibility before, could enter in and do that, take care of that job. So imagine, out of 20,000, you're only there 2 weeks out of the year, and when you're there, you're among 1,000 people, and lots are cast, and you happen to be chosen on this particular day, and you enter into the holy place, and there you meet the angel. That's not coincidence. I mentioned two people that we met recently, who Asako and Lucas, and you know, I don't think it's coincidence that they called us out of the blue. I don't think it's coincidence that they came to visit us. I don't think it's a coincidence that I was off on Thursday because I had a physical, and I brought Benj with me because he was still sick, and then the doctor referred us to a specialist. So after the physical, we went to Big Y, and then we went to the specialist. And guess who was there at the specialist? It was the same person, the same two people. And I sat next to one of them and was able to talk to them. And then they were at the recital. So the Lord brought someone into our lives, and that's not a coincidence. And so it wasn't a coincidence that Zacharias was at this particular place, at this particular time of his life. So they would Zacharias offered the incense, the smoke lifted up to the heavens representing prayers. Then there were five priests who would come out. They would stand on the steps of the temple, and the one who offered incense would stand in the middle. That would be Zacharias. And he tarried. It took him a while. Verse 21 says, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried," or he took, "so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless." So Gabriel was an angel who was in the presence of the Lord, and he was sent to deliver a message to Zacharias. And I wonder, if he had not prayed, would that ever have happened? Would that whole circumstance ever have been arranged for him to be in the temple at that time? And why so late in his life? We don't know why. But if he had never prayed, I wonder if God would have done the same thing with him. But the angel said that his prayers were heard, and you will have a child. So if you're encountering a disappointing circumstance in your life, pray. You don't know how it could possibly work out. How could it possibly work out? Say I'm 60 and my wife is 57. How could she possibly have a child? We don't know. With us, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm not saying that we should tempt God, make him prove himself to us. No. We trust him every day. And so if you have a difficult circumstance you're dealing with, ask God. We often don't take things to God because we think we can take care of them in our own might. So ask for help. And then secondly, look at verse 18, Luke chapter 1, verse 18. "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And then look at verse 25. "Thus," this was Elizabeth, his wife, speaking, "thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Reproach means disgrace or humiliation. Elizabeth was disgraced. She was humiliated because she could not have a child. And back then, if you could not have a child, that was like a curse on your family. Because back then, the family unit was the primary social unit of society. It was all about family. It wasn't like today, where father and mother live halfway across the country, where you never see them, where the kids are scattered everywhere. It was different back then. Of course, the parents did everything they possibly could to give their children every possible opportunity in life. The parents needed care when they got older. There was no Social Security. It was the children who took care of the elderly parents and grandparents. The kids added to the family's financial security. It wasn't just dad. Everything wasn't just depending upon him. The kids would contribute. They would work. They would often live together, even as adults. It was a different time, a different society. The kids were a reflection on the parents. Whatever the kids did, it reflected upon the family. So it was important for the kids to behave and to be good examples to the world outside. I was, after the recital last night, we went to Val's, and my Jonathan and my dad and my grandmother went in their car ahead of us because we kind of lingered behind. We talked to Mark McDonald, you remember him?
Yes.
And pastor at that church in Worcester, he was there, and some other people from there. So we lingered a little bit behind. They went to Val's, and we came later. And as I walked in the door, they said, the lady said at the desk, "Rogals? Are you with the Rogals?" And I said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" And she said, "Oh, you look like your brother." "Oh, thanks. That's my father." But the children resemble the parents, not only in looks, but in attitudes and in actions. The children are a reflection of the parents. So they either bring honor or they bring disappointment. And to be childless was a curse. There were several examples of women in the Bible who were who had trouble conceiving. Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau, Samson's mother, the mother of Samuel, and Sarah, the mother of Isaac. She was also one who was well stricken in years. She was past the age of childbearing. Why don't we turn there to Genesis 18? Genesis 18, I'll start with verse 1. Genesis 18, verse 1. "And the Lord appeared unto them in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door of the heat of the day, in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. We're talking now about the need to accept reality. What do we need to help us with disappointing circumstances in our lives? Well, number one, we need to ask God for help. And number two, what we need to do to deal with the disappointing circumstances of life is to accept the reality of those difficult circumstances. Accept the reality of it. Don't ignore it. Don't think it's not what it is. It's okay to think positively, but thinking positively is not going to change your circumstance. Not all of them. Accept the reality. Elizabeth and Zacharias accepted the reality that they would never have children. They were past the years of childbearing. They were old. And they just accepted it. And so they were surprised. How can this be? It was too late for them, they thought. When we were having piano lessons at Mrs. Hank's house, I remember her husband had gone into the hospital and had some surgery, and he was there for quite a while, but he came home, and we happened to have a lesson when he was in the kitchen. So he called me in there, and we talked for a little while the kids had lessons, and he was a construction worker, a very hard-working guy, and he must have been in his 70s or 80s at that point. And he was telling me about all his plans. Well, I'm going to put in all new kitchen cabinets. I'm going to make them all from scratch here in the kitchen. And I couldn't do that myself. Maybe I'm sure, you know, he has the skills for it, but the strength, I wondered if he had the strength, and I feared for his safety using the saws. But that's what he said he would do. And we went there another time, and I heard all these saws going on in the basement during the lesson. So I knew he was down there, he was working. But he could hardly walk with a cane, hardly. And I can't imagine how many years it would take at such a slow pace to install all new cabinets in the kitchen. But he was trying. At his old age and in his poor health, he was trying. And sometimes we just have to accept the reality that we can't do it, that the time has passed, that the circumstance, however disappointing it may be, it is there, and we must accept it. And that's what Zacharias and Elizabeth did. They accepted the reality that they would never have children. But God changed that. Then finally, verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Well, how can we, what do we need to help us in disappointing circumstances? We need to ask God for help. We need to accept the reality of the circumstance. And we need to be open to whatever God can do. We need to be open to whatever God can do. Zacharias was skeptical. He was skeptical. I want a sign, God. What do you mean I'm going to have a child? It's not possible. Show me a sign. Okay. You're mute. You want a sign? I'll give you a sign. But his wife, Elizabeth, interesting that she didn't go mute and she didn't laugh as Sarah did. She was actually grateful. Verse 25, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. That's spoken from a woman who is grateful and open to what God can do in her life. It might not be believable, but she's open to it. When you think it's over, your health, maybe you're too old to do what you think you would like to do, just know that there's a reason for the timing of God. He times things perfectly. We might not think the timing is right because we might think, God, I want a child now when it's still possible. I want it now. And you say, God, I want this situation to be over now. I can't stand it anymore. But God's timing is perfect, not your timing. Maybe you have regrets over a bad decision that you've made. I know. I mean, I'm very thankful for this house. It's very nice, and we had good intentions to have church here, to have social functions here with our church. But the consequence of having such a big house is that it's financially a burden. And so that's one of my regrets. I wish I built a smaller house. But maybe you have regrets over something, or maybe you have sorrow over something, something difficult to handle. Will you be open to what God wants? Or are you insisting that what you want is what must happen? How does it go? There are just two options on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Do you want what will please you, or do you want what ultimately pleases God? Hopefully you want what God wants for your life. So whatever that difficult circumstance is, will you accept it? Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content," or be happy, "with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Will you accept your lot in life? And do you pray? Do you ask God to help you? Do you accept the reality of your situation? And are you open to what God can do to change your situation, or to help you endure your situation, to teach you what he wants you to know? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious holy word, and for the way that you use your word to give us truths that we can latch on to. And Lord, we all know that this life is disappointing. Not always, but sometimes. And Lord, we want to trust you with our lives, with every circumstance, whether good or bad. And so we pray that you give us hearts that will have faith in thee, to not wallow in our sorrows, but to look up to whom we have life and life everlasting. So give us that faith, Lord, and help us not to depend upon ourselves, but to depend upon you, and to want to live our lives to please you and not ourselves. Help us, Lord, to make sacrifices, if need be, that we may serve you and please you. For that ultimately is the desire of our hearts, that you may someday speak to us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. How about if we sing one more? Psalm 566. Let's all stand and sing "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder," 566.
And time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, And the bull is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home among the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
And all God's people said,